Greetings and welcome to Don't Call It Jazz, KISU's very own listening hang from a jazz musician's point of view. I'm your host, Jonathan Armstrong. I'm a professor of music at Idaho State University and a professional jazz performer and composer. Tonight's show is kicking off an ongoing series I'm going to do here where we're going to explore recordings from different communities from around the world. And so for this next hour, we're going to be checking out music from the historic city of Philadelphia. There's so many legendary musicians that have cut their teeth in Philly, and as you'll see from this hour, this wide variety of styles and genres from which they come. Real spirited city, some wonderful music. I'm looking forward to this episode. To kick things off, we're going to check out some McCoy Tyner. McCoy Tyner was a legendary jazz pianist who was born and raised in Philly and rose to prominence when he joined the infamous John Coltrane Quartet in the early 60s. John Coltrane, who's from North Carolina, actually moved to Philly in his 20s and knew a lot of Philadelphia musicians, and a lot of his albums, Coltrane's albums, featured Philly musicians. He really drew from that talent pool. Well, McCoy Tyner left the Coltrane Quartet and started to venture into his own career, released dozens of critically acclaimed albums, this one being perhaps his best known album, The Real McCoy, released in 1967. This song, Blues on the Corner, is going to feature Joe Henderson, the wonderful tenor saxophonist, and just a really great groove, a really fun melody. I just love this tune. So McCoy Tyner with Blues on the Corner. Thank you. That was Lee Morgan with his song Cornbread off the album Cornbread, released in 1965. Lee Morgan, a trumpet phenom from Philly, he got his big break at 19, recording on, again, John Coltrane's classic album Blue Train. He's so amazing on this album, on Blue Train, and it's mind-boggling to think that this teenager was playing as brilliantly as Morgan does there. He eventually joined the Art Blakey and the Jazz Musicians, which is this institution of a jazz combo that many of the greatest jazz musicians played in. And then he got his own record contract with Blue Note and released dozens of albums before he died at 33 years old, when he was unfortunately shot by his wife on a gig after a dispute between sets. He's one of my favorite trumpet players, and this album, Cornbread, I think is my origin story of a jazz musician. When I was in high school and I first heard it, these boogaloo rhythms that Lee Morgan uses on that song in particular, and everything else on that album, it's so infectious, it's so wonderful, he plays so beautifully, the grooves are happening, you get Jackie McLean on the alto saxophone and Hank Mobley on the tenor, Billy Higgins on the drum set, just a wonderful album. I love it so much, just a classic. Moving on, we're going to check out something called The Philadelphia Experiment, which was an album released in 2001. Philadelphia Experiment was this series of albums that the record label Ropadope put together. There was a Detroit Experiment, there was a Brooklyn Experiment, I think there's a New Orleans Experiment. Essentially, they went to a city and they found really cool musicians that wouldn't normally play with each other, who were from that city, and they put them together in a room and had them figure out an album. In this case, you have the wonderful modern bassist Christian McBride, perhaps one of the vanguards of jazz music of our time, one of the most important jazz historians and musicians we have. You have Questlove, who's a drummer for the hip-hop band The Roots, that you may know as the house band for the Jimmy Fallon Tonight Show. And then you have a wonderful pianist named Uri Kane, who's a great pianist. He's released dozens of amazing albums, just a real genius. He also has forayed into synthesizers and classical music, and a real interesting musician. So these three guys get together, they got in a studio, and this song you're about to hear, Ain't It the Truth, is something that they kind of came up as a group as they were grooving. Really a fun track. So this is the Philadelphia Experiment with Ain't It the Truth. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Sun Ra and his orchestra with the song Pan Afro, an original by Sun Ra. And that's off the 1973 album, Discipline 27-2. What to say about Sun Ra? I mean, so Sun Ra claimed to be that he was beamed to Saturn by aliens who gave him a higher consciousness so that he could bring others to this consciousness through music. He recorded and performed prolifically throughout his career. He's originally from Birmingham, Alabama. He went to New York City, and then in New York City, he developed this strong group of young musicians who were completely devoted and dedicated to his spirit and his musicianship. And so when he moved to Philadelphia in the early 70s, almost the entire band moved with them, and they lived communally in a Philadelphia neighborhood where they became fixtures in the Black community. They gave free concerts. They gave lectures on Black empowerment. They did all this work with Black science fiction, totally predating the modern Afrofuturist movement that you have. And they even ran a convenience store in the neighborhood where they lived. They made documentaries, they made films, science fiction films, one of the coolest science fiction films of all time called Space is the Place, super weird. They ventured into avant-garde music. They did groove music. And famously, what they would do is they would hang out at the house for hours. They might have 8-10 hour rehearsals, and then they would march to the gig, you know, while still playing the music, and they would show up at the gig in Philly, and they would just keep playing. Apparently, their concerts, their sets at these jazz clubs were just absolutely legendary, and they hit such a high level of musicianship and like conscious raising. You know, this guy was so dedicated to this concept and so dedicated with his full life force. Certainly a unique figure in all of jazz history. And in that song, you hear his genius of composition as he's interlocking all these melodies and polyrhythms. It's just a towering figure, an enigmatic figure in jazz history. We're going to do something totally different, because how do you possibly follow Sun Ra? We're going to listen to this great jazz pianist, Kenny Barron, wonderful, influential player throughout the 70s and 80s. A lot of time people think like jazz music languished in the 70s and 80s, but it's just not true. And if you dig a little deeper, people like Kenny Barron emerge as some of the more popular and influential stylists of the time. Just a great album from 1986 called What If. It's going to feature another Philly native, a great trumpeter named Wallace Rooney, who actually tragically died of COVID-19 earlier this year, and you'll hear him on this album. So this is Kenny Barron with his composition Phantoms off What If. Thank you. the Ray Bryant Trio with Ray Bryant's composition Splittin' off the album called Ray Bryant Trio from 1957. Ray Bryant was born to the religious family in Philadelphia, and he actually started gigging in nightclubs at the age of 12 and then joined this burgeoning jazz scene in Philly. He became this avuncular figure in the city. He stayed there. He did some work in New York City and had a very long and successful career, but he's really known for everything he did in Philly, mentoring young musicians. And as you can hear, he's just a wonderful musician. I really love that track. Moving on, we're going to go totally turn left here, and we're going to listen to Patti LaBelle, one of the best vocalists of all time. I love Patti LaBelle. It's like, you know, the term pound for pound they use sometimes in boxing. I feel the same way about jazz musicians. And I would say Patti LaBelle, pound for pound, is one of my favorite vocalists of all time. The way that she can turn a phrase or bend a note or take her time here and there with a phrase. I just am hanging on every word, every note that she sings. A wonderful musician. She kind of got her start with the Bluebells, which was like a doo-wop group, and then they had this massive hit called Lady Marmalade, which you may know as a disco, a legendary, iconic disco song. But right before that happened, in 1974, Patti LaBelle traveled down to New Orleans to work with a bunch of New Orleans music, and the album was produced by Alan Toussaint, who's this wonderful New Orleans-based musician. And he was tapped into the New Orleans scene. So LaBelle and her backup singers traveled to New Orleans, and they got members from the Meters and members from the Neville Brothers and all these incredible session players, and they get this New Orleans funky product. It's this mix of jazz and funk and R&B and that unique New Orleans feel that you can only find in that place in the world. And this song, What Can I Do For You, it hits so hard. It's quite possibly one of the funkiest bass lines in recorded history. Fight me on it, you know? And then LaBelle is just scorching here. She's belting everything, and she's riding on top of this smoking band. So please enjoy Patti LaBelle, her song, What Can I Do For You? And again, if you haven't heard this album, Nightbirds from 74, my God, just go pick it up immediately and put it on and start dancing.
People want sincerity and purity, and nothing
All right, that was Jill Scott, the great Philadelphia vocalist, with her song Golden off her 2004 album, Beautifully Human, Worlds and Songs, Volume 2. Jill Scott's great. She's such a wonderful vocalist. I've always loved hearing her play. In fact, I remember when this album came out in 2004, I was an undergrad and I was playing with some gospel musicians from the Black community of musicians in Seattle, and they would introduced me to all these artists that I wouldn't have heard about in my, you know, jazz school at University of Washington. And this was one of them. They said immediately, go buy this album, check out everything on it, and then learn it, because I was playing saxophone in this group. So I had to learn all these songs by ear. And this particular song is something that got called a lot. It's sort of known as an R&B new R&B standard that a lot of groups play. It's such a great melody. It's such a great groove. And Jill Scott has such a unique way of singing. She actually got a degree in education, worked as a public school teacher, and then she just really pursued this career of music. And she was discovered by Questlove, who we heard earlier playing drums with the Philadelphia Experiment. Questlove, a Philadelphia native himself. He launched her career by introducing her to the right folks, and then that led to this debut album, Beautifully Human, which just was a total sensation. I hope you enjoyed this Philadelphia episode. We're going to be coming back with music from LA. We're going to do some music from Brazil, from South Africa. We're going to travel all over the world, and I'm going to try and show you some of the more famous people from that area and also some of the deeper cuts that maybe you haven't heard of. You can join me every first and last Saturday of the month at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. You tune into 91.1 if you live locally, or you can just check out the show anytime you like at kisu.org. Want to thank Jamin Anderson at the station for the show. Thank the editor of the show, Ryan Tomlinson, and also the sponsor of the show, ISU Credit Union, which is a great place that I personally bank at. Until next time, have a wonderful week, and thank you for checking out Don't Call It Jazz on KISU, your ear to the world.